This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, from the English Standard Version. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As we prepare our hearts and our minds to pray, we just want to remember all of those who had loved ones to go from labor to reward. We're asking that God will continue to comfort, guide, keep, and strengthen you. We pray for those who have been affected by COVID-19 in so many different ways, that God will move and turn to strengthen, guide, and bless them. Those who've been hospitalized, and I want to include, let us have prayer for my wife, Sister LaWanda Tillman, who've had a brief stay in the hospital since we last spoken, and we want you to know that we thank God, that God continue to heal, direct, strengthen, and bless her. So as we take time now, we prepare for this message, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our Creator, Sustainer, we thank you right now for being a God who loves us, who cares for us, who keeps us. We're praying now, God, that you move in your own special way. We know that you're Alpha and Omega. We know that you're the beginning, you're the end. We know you're everything to us. We thank you, God, for your holiness, your gratefulness. We recognize that we have sinned, we've come short, we haven't been everything you want us to be, but we come humbly before you on this day, telling you how much we are grateful, how grateful we are, how thankful we are for who you are and who we are. Now, God, we ask that you would touch, heal, strengthen, bless, and deliver. We ask that you would bless each one in such a special way. You're blessing us, God, that we can be a blessing unto others. For those who've had loved ones to pass, we ask that you would comfort, guide, keep them, strengthen them. Let them know, God, that yes, this world is not our home. We're all the strangers passing through, and one day we too will have to answer that call. For those who are recovering, God, from any illness, we ask that you would strengthen, guide, bless, be with the doctors, nurses, all who will minister unto them. Let your power reign supreme, because we know by your stripes we are healed. Again, we thank you, and now bless us in this worship experience. Bless us as your word goes forth. As your word is preached, God, we pray that everyone who hears your word will receive your word on this day. We pray for those who are not saved, that they might be saved, and those who are saved, that we might grow in you, and you might get the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I had to have a subject, it probably would be, let's go to work. Labor Day is a federal holiday in the United States, celebrated on the first Monday in September to honor and recognize the American labor movement and the works and contributions of laborers to the development and achievement of the United States. Actually, in the U.S. government site, it says this, Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is the creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. More than a century after the first Labor Day observance, there's still some doubt as to who first proposed the holiday for workers. Some records show that Peter J. McGuire General Secretary of the Brotherhood of Carpenters and joiners and a co-founder of the American Federation of Labor, was first in suggesting a day to honor those who from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold. But Peter McGuire's place in Labor Day history has not gone unchallenged. Many believe that it was Matthew McGuire, a machinist, not Peter, who founded the holiday. Recent research seems to support the contention that Matthew McGuire, later the secretary of Local 344 of the International Association of Machinists in Paterson, New Jersey, proposed the holiday in 1882 while serving as secretary of the Central Labor Union in New York. What is clear is that the Central Labor Union adopted a Labor Day proposal and appointed a committee to plan a demonstration and a picnic. So even the first Labor Day included eating, a cookout. Many of us don't need an excuse for a cookout anyway, but it included. And isn't it just, first of all, isn't it just ironic that it was a McGuire that got all this stuff started? So I can't wait to go to the McGuire's for the cookout. When we think about it, when we think about the labor of men and women who built America with labor negotiated wages, we have to reflect on those men and women who actually were forcefully made, who truly built America for no wages, making it possible for America to become the nation of misappropriated wealth that it is today. There were those who labored from sunup to sundown in the heat of the day so that this nation would be where it is today. Now the sons and daughters of those who labored now form a union of sorts to negotiate payment for the labor performed by those who were enslaved. It's past time for reparations for those who have had to struggle through life without compensation from our foreparents, blood, sweat, and tears. Of course, everyone wants to be compensated for the work they do. Let me say that again. Everyone wants to be compensated for the work they do. Even the wealthy looks for a return on their investment. Once work happens, there is an expectation of compensation in some form or another. And if you're working, you ought to be making enough to be able to live and take care of your family. That's why we say livable wages should not just be a discussion, but a reality. We celebrate Labor Day with more than food. There ought to be a conversation pertaining to the expectations, then the realization of compensation based on the work that has been done and will be done. When work has been done, there is an expectation of compensation, or at least a reasonable realization for a return on the investment of the time and energy that has been exerted. Everybody is looking for something back for the labor they have done. Let me say it again. Everyone is looking for something back for the labor they have done. So the question today is, so what about God? Should God expect a return on the labor he has done? Should God get a return on his investment? Let's look briefly. Let's just briefly take a look at the work God has done and his expectation of compensation from those who have benefited from his work. First of all, God had to work for us. But Pastor, what do you mean by that? God had worked for us. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it talks about us. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh,
carried out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Before having a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were a mess. Mm-hmm. And if you're not saved, you have to admit right now, you're still a mess. Or you are in a mess. What do you mean by we're in a mess? Well, the scripture is clear. If we're without Christ, we are actually dead. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. Yes, in other words, when you're dead, you're unable to understand and appreciate spiritual things. Possess no spiritual life. And a person who's spiritually dead can do nothing of himself to please God. Just as a person physically dead does not respond to physical stimuli, so a person spiritually dead is unable to respond to spiritual things. A corpse does not hear the conversation going on in the funeral. He has no appetite for food or drink. He feels no pain. He's dead. Just so with the inner man of an unsaved person. His spiritual faculties are not functioning. They cannot function until God gives them life. The cause of this spiritual death is trespasses and sins. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. In the Bible, death basically means separation, not only physically, as the spirit separates from the body, James chapter 2, but also spiritually, as the spirit is separated from God. And when we talk about it, what's worse, spiritual death or physical death? And I know we act as if we get all caught up in spirit and being physically dead, but I guarantee you, spiritual death is much worse than physical death. We want to be alive and have a life spiritually. Keep this in mind. The unbeliever is not sick. He's dead. He does not need a resuscitation. He needs a resurrection. All lost sinners are dead. And the only difference between one sinner and another sinner is just the state of decay. Dead is dead. Not that's a better dead sinner. If dead is just dead. What happens in this world is that we have those who are not saved. They're basically living in one vast graveyard filled with people who are dead while they live. But Christ gives life. God has worked it out for us. He's done the work for us to move out of that state of being dead into life. And if whatever you're going through right now, you recognize that it's God working for you to get us out of that depression, to get us out of that state of life that we've been in, to get us out of feeling as if everything is against us, to get us out of there's no hope, there's no peace, there's no joy. How can I make it in this world? Look at what's going on with this pandemic. Everything is so bad around us. I gotta wear a mask and I can't go any place I wanna go and place my clothes. As we go through all of this, in the midst of what you're going through, that seems like the worst crisis we can ever have. But understand, my brothers and my sisters, when you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about the crisis. You're gonna go through everything you gotta go through, but God is with you and he'll keep you. How can I say this? Because he has worked for us. He has been working it out in our lives that we might be able to have joy. Somebody will say, thank you, Lord. He's been working it out that we might have joy. Well, how is he working? He's working through love. Love is one of God's attributes. But when this love is related to sinners, it becomes grace and mercy. God is rich in mercy, yeah, and he's rich in grace. And these riches can make it possible for sinners to be saved. You know, it might come as a shock to some people when you discover this, that we're not saved by God's love, but by God's mercy and God's grace. In his mercy, he does not give us what we do deserve. That's mercy. Yeah, yeah. we may deserve death, we may deserve separation, but by his mercy, he doesn't give us what we deserve. And his grace is he gives us what we do not deserve. We may not deserve the joy and the peace that come with knowing God, but he gives us that because of his love made manifest through grace and mercy. And all of this is made possible because of what he did. Oh yes, God has worked for us. He's been working it out for us. When Jesus came through 40 and two generations, went about doing good. When they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a crown of thorns on his head. When he hung on the cross and died for your sins and my sins. He was doing the work for you and for me because he did die and was placed in a borrowed tomb and stayed there all night Friday, all day Saturday, all night Saturday night. But early on Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power, power over the grave, victory over death. He did the work for us. He was working for us. God did the work, my brothers and sisters. And all this is made possible because of what God has done for us. So our response is to put our faith in God. That's it. Receive the gift he has given to us. For by grace we have been saved through faith. Yes, by grace we have been saved through faith. Not of works, as anyone should boast. What God has done is that he's given us his grace and we respond with our faith. Somebody respond, yes, Lord, I know you. Yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. It's that faith, knowing that God will work out everything in our lives, no matter what we go through. We have to believe that he is who he said he is, and he'll do what he said he'll do. That's the faith. But the question is still, what does God get out of us doing all of this for us? What is his compensation? What is the return on his investment? He has labored for us. Well, not only has he labored for us, he's now laboring in us. Yes, he has given us the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in us after Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave. The Bible clearly shows us he ascended into heaven. Then he sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, to direct us, to teach us all things. We've been talking about evangelizing. We've been talking about reaching a world for Christ. But we can only do this because of the power that lies in us. It's not because we're so good. It's not because we're so smart. It's not because we have the right amount of money. It's not because of anything we have done. It's all because of the work that God has done. And when he comes in us to guide us and direct us, he's empowered us to do the work he called us to do. Can't you feel empowered on today? You ought to feel empowered on today if you've given your heart to God. If you told the Lord, listen, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe Jesus rose from the grave. I need you in my life. I've sinned. I've come short. I've messed up. Oh, yes, my brother. Oh, yes, my sister. Everybody ought to admit, everybody ought to confess that I've sinned and come short. Then we ought to repent for our sins. We ought to have a willingness to turn from our sins and be more of what God wants us to be. Everybody come to Christ, you say, well, y'all not a bunch of sinless folk. Look at y'all. Y'all still sin. Y'all messing up. You still, no, no. But if you come to Christ, it doesn't make you sinless, but you ought to sin less. Somebody ought to say amen. So he's in us. And because he's in us, it's to give us the desire to give God back a return on his investment. God wants, he desires and needs us. Yes, he wants, desires, and needs us. Well, how does God need me? How does God need us? Well, he's worked for us, and he's working in us to do his own pleasure. But this is the point we got to get. This is where we got to go to work. Lastly, is that he works through us. That's right. He works through us. Yeah, God could, from heaven, just demand everything happen on earth like it should happen. He could just say, let there be, and it could still be again. But he has chosen, God's word shows he's chosen to work through us. He's chosen to use you. He's chosen to use me. He's chosen to use us, his church. And his church is meeting right now. His church is wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you have an opportunity to allow God to work through you. Yes, he can work through you. Well, how do you know he wants to work through you? Because God can do. In Ephesians 3:20, God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Anybody agree with me? God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But that verse also says, but it's according to the power that works in us. He has placed power in us to do the work that he wants us to do. Well, Pastor, what work does God want me to do? How has he empowered me to work? How has he empowered me to live? I'm glad you've asked. He's gifted us to do his will. That's the work. He wants us to do his will. We are his workmanship. Verse 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He expects us to do good works. Well, what good work do I need to do? Pastor, I've been hearing you say that for years. We have to do good work. What good work does he want us to do? He wants us to do his will. His will is a good work. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm glad you asked. When we look at this, it says he's gifted us to do his will. He has prepared us to do his will. He has provided for us to do his will. He has so blessed us so we can do his will. And now it's time for us to allow him to work through us. We need to allow God to work through us. But Pastor, what does that mean, working through us? Well, his will is that none should perish. And every last one of us should be bringing lost folk to Christ. Yes, in this month of September, we're looking forward to every disciple of First African Baptist Church bringing at least one soul to Christ. At least one. Yes, everybody. Everybody. That's right. If you sit around other folk in your family, tell them that means you. Everybody needs to bring at least one soul to Christ. Why can you do it? Because God has done the work. He's done the work for us. He's done the work in us. And he will work through you to get it done. Well, how will he do that? He'll use whatever God has given you. Whatever gifts, whatever talents, whatever abilities you have, you can use those talents that others can come to know Christ in a very special way. Let him work through you on today. That verse says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's the expectation God has for us. And the good works can come through helping other people get to where God wants them to get. Matter of fact, it teaches us. He says, when I was hungry, you fed me. In Matthew 25, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in, naked and you clothed me. Sick and in prison, you visited me. They said, when do we do all that? He says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it also unto me. That is the mission that we have. But mission and evangelism go hand in hand. We should not just be helping whoever we're helping for the sake of helping them. We should be helping whoever we're helping so they can come to a real relationship with God. And people will come to Christ based upon how you treat them because they believe you know God. And if you know God, you ought to know God well enough to show the same kind of love for others that God has shown for you. And God has loved you. God has loved me in spite of what we've done, in spite of how we've done it, in spite of when we've done it, where we've done it. He forgives us and he loves us. His grace and his mercy shines forth in all of our lives. And we ought to always take time to say, Lord, I thank you. But then we got to get up and do the work he called us to do. That's the return on his investment. During this Labor Day, I want to admonish you to do the work God has called you to do. Go ahead and tell your brothers. Go ahead and tell your sister. Go ahead and tell your mother. Go ahead and tell your father. Go ahead and tell your grandchildren. Go ahead and tell your grandparents. Go ahead and tell your friends. Go ahead and tell your enemies. Go ahead and tell somebody. God loves you. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let us live like the Lord wants to live. Let us share like the Lord wants to share. Let us give like the Lord wants to give. Let us do what the Lord wants to do. And we will receive even a greater reward from him. Because one of these days, not just because of COVID-19, but one of these days, we got to live this place and give up time for eternity. We've got a new home over in glory. And it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I got a new shout over in glory. And it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I got a new walk over in glory. And it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. You ought to tell the Lord, thank you. Lord, I thank you today. Thank you for what you've done. How you work for me. How you're working in me. And how you're working through me to get your will done. God needs to receive his due compensation for the work he has done in all of our lives. Even as we cause America to be America that it ought to be, Even though we rise and do all the things we ought to do to reach out and help others, God will bless, guide, and sustain us. But in the midst of all that we do, don't leave out Jesus. He's the one who died, who suffered, bled, and died. Don't leave out the fact that God loves and God cares. You may be listening to this on today. This Sunday, you may be receiving this word on today. And you're saying, you know, I've sinned. I've come short. I haven't been everything wrong with me. I am truly sorry for my sins. I do believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. My brother, my sister, you can come to Christ right now. You don't have to wait to be able to be back in a church building. You don't have to wait for a preacher or a deacon, trustee, to come by your house. Right now, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you have to do right now is, if this is what you believe, Romans 10:9 says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. Yes, for with the mouth confession is made. Listen, right now we're praying. As I pray, you pray this prayer after me to accept Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Yes, just pray the words that I'm saying. If that's what you believe, God will come into your heart. Christ will take up residence. The Holy Spirit will move into your life just by you acknowledging with a heartfelt gratitude what he's done and how you're willing to do the work he's called you to do. If you want to accept Christ right now, please pray this prayer after me. Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for all my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.